Yeah, we're not going to like this one today. That's next Sunday. We're going to like that one.
Only the purple one?
Mm-hmm, only the purple one.
And the pink one tomorrow?
The first candle of the Advent wreath was lit so that we would remember the prophets. The second candle was lit to help us remember the angels.
The third candle will arrive today and may help us remember that supper. The shepherds remembered us that Jesus has come for the common everyday man or need for a Savior is not based on our status in life, but is based on our sinfulness. Even Jesus is not this how our healthy a physician, but this who are those who are sick.
We're not really going to light the candle.
Yes. Candle. We'll just pull it out and just rub it off. Yeah.
Don't think to light up.
Thank you. them sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. What lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Thank you very much, Louise. That was a great song. Appreciate you, kids. I think they may have already gone back for lighting the Advent candle. That was a great experience. I enjoyed that very much. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody doing okay today? Hey, seems like just 4 or 5 months ago, we were talking about Christmas, and now here it is, right? Another week or so, we'll be headed that way, but I love this time of the year, and one of the reasons I felt like the Lord was laying on my heart to do a couple of sermons here about love is because what greater time to talk about it than Christmas, right? Jesus showed great love for us in that, first of all, God the Father allowed a part of himself to be born and be on this earth, but also Jesus growing up and becoming a man and teaching us his ways for only a short period of time, and then giving his life as an ultimate showing of his love for us. So no greater love can we ever see than that. I truly believe that with all my heart. Now, what I want to do is, because some of you may not have been able to be here last week, and you're gonna see that I'm going to be starting halfway down through the sermon notes here today. So I'm going to go do a quick recap. I'm just going to kind of cover the parts that we left blank here for this week that we actually went over last week, just to catch you up a little bit. This whole sermon focuses around lessons on love, what love is, what love is not. And we're going to finish up today. We're going to pick up today with point number 11. Which is over on the back page of, toward the back page of your second page here on the back. We're going to talk about that this morning, but I want to just kind of recap real quick what we went over last week. So we said that love is more than an emotion, and I'm just going to go over these in case you want to catch up if you happen to miss it last week. Love is more than an emotion. Love is not free. which was point number two that we made. Point number three, love looks beyond the flesh. Love looks beyond the flesh. And then point number four, lust has nothing to do with genuine love. Point number five, love cannot be bought. And then point number six, we talked about last week, is that love wants to give with no strings attached. No strings attached to love. Then number seven, love is generous and unselfish. Unselfish. Point number eight, love is more fulfilled in giving than in receiving. More in giving than in receiving. And then point number nine, love is forgiving. Got to always be willing to forgive if we're going to show true love. And then point 10, the last one we covered last week, love desires to express itself. Love desires to express itself. And now, guess what? You're all caught up. And I bet everybody else is saying, well, why didn't you just tell us that last week and cut through the chafe, right? But we had to cover a little bit more with that last week. But that's where we ended up last week. We're going to pick up this week with point number 11. But our text is actually coming from the book of 1 John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And we are going to read our focus verses again.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You're just a little bit late there, Weezy, but that's okay. Hey, I was sitting here going, I was waiting for you to say that. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's Word, beginning with verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. God's Word reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for all the great things we've heard and seen this morning already. Just pray, God, now that You'll open our hearts and minds and our eyes and ears to Your Word, and that we'll be pleasing in Your sight here over the next few minutes, Father. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look at point number 11 here. We're talking about some characteristics of love here. You know, I said last week, if you ask someone to define love, you might get a ton of different suggestions as to what they feel love is. So what we did was, in this sermon series here, in this short series, we tried to go over some things that love is and that love is not. So let's look at number 11 here for today. Love is a happy emotion. Love is a happy emotion. You know, last week we talked about love not being just an emotion. Love is so much more than that, but I do believe that love is a happy emotion. Love will make you happy. If you truly love the person that you're showing that love toward, then you're going to be happy. And they're going to be happy. Eventually, anyway. Amen. They may not be that way to begin with, but eventually they're going to be that way. So love is a happy emotion. I believe the happiest people in the world are not those who can buy anything they want to, but rather those who know how to love. Those are some of the happiest people I know. People who know how to give love and share love, receive love. It's not about, remember we talked last week, you can't buy love. So many people think, oh, well, if I give somebody enough, then they're going to love me. No, they're going to desire what you have to give them, but that's not necessarily going to constitute that they love you. So love is a happy emotion. You know, don't you love to be around loving people? People that are just joyful people that love to give and love to share. I love to be around those kind of people. I want to be more like that. I consider myself to be a loving person, but I could certainly be better than I am. And that's what I hope all of our goal is, guys. I hope that you're not satisfied with where you are in your walk right now. Is anybody satisfied with where they are in your walk with Jesus right now? Anybody? Okay, I hope you're not, because I hope you want to get better each and every day. I hope you want your walk to strengthen each and every day. I hope you want your love for your fellow man and for your spouse and your friends
and all of that. I hope you want that to strengthen every day. I hope you're not satisfied with where you are, because guys, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times people become too comfortable where they are with Jesus. Instead of trying to move forward and move ahead and grow a relationship and make it grow and get better each and every day, we're like, oh, well, Lord, I got saved. Now let me plop down in this pew and stay here for the next 55 years. Guys, that's not what it's about. It's about growing and getting out and sharing the gospel and loving people. And that's what's so important. So I believe love is truly a happy emotion. Number 12. Love always enjoys seeing others happy. Don't you just love it when people are happy because you did something good for them? I love that. I love seeing the happiness in people's eyes because I tried to do something good for them. So love truly can make you happy. When you have this outlook, guys, you're going to always be willing to sacrifice for others. You can find great enjoyment when you see the happiness in someone because what you're willing to do for them. Because of what you're willing to do for them. You know, love should cause us to have a desire to want to help other people and to love other people, you see. If you don't have real love in your heart that the Holy Spirit of God puts there, you're going to have a hard time wanting to help make others happy. You know why? Because you're not going to be happy. Unhappy people cannot make people feel happy. Did that make sense? It's just not going to happen. That's why I encourage you to stay around people who will uplift you, not people who will drag you down into the mire and muck of their misery. You know, some people are just miserable people, aren't they? They want to be that way, and misery wants company. How many of you believe that? Misery wants company. Misery wants you to come over and knock on its door and come in and sit down and fellowship with it. You know why? Because miserable people want to bring people into their circle. But see, if you've got love and you've got joy and you've got kindness and goodness and all of those different things that love really is, then you're not going to have time for misery. You're not going to have time to be in that kind of mindset. So I want to encourage you to enjoy seeing others happy. Why? Because you did something for them that put a smile on their face. You know, even the worst of people can smile sometimes, right? All it takes is to just do something positive for somebody. Do something good for somebody. It truly is better to give than receive. I really believe that. You know, some people are all about receiving. They want the receiving end of it. But try giving sometimes. Try giving of your time. Try giving of yourself to help other people. And I guarantee you one thing, you may not get anything in return for it on this earth, but don't think you're not earning jewels for your crown that one day you're going to get to cash in for heavenly reward, because it's coming, amen? It's going to happen. You're going to get your reward for the love you show to people here on this earth. I hope everybody understands how this is going to work. You know, God's not just going to, when you're facing the great judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is not going to just say, okay, come on and do whatever you want to in heaven. You're going to get your reward based on what you did here on this earth. And I'm going to tell you this, if you weren't showing love with what you did on this earth, don't expect your reward to be great in heaven. Because it requires that you love. Why? Because love is the pillar of Christianity. Love is the pillar of what Jesus came to this earth for. To show us how to love. We ought to look at him as a perfect example. When he died on the cross for us, no greater love could anyone show anyone, right? Than to lay down his life for a bunch of sinful people all throughout this world. Not just for a select few, for everyone. Once and for all. Because of the grace that he showed us, we have the opportunity to find eternal life. Number 13, love helps make us complete. Love helps make us complete. Let me explain that for just a minute, because you see, some people don't know how to receive love, do they? Some people who have not been around people who really know how to show good, godly love have a hard time receiving love because they weren't shown love. But you know what? Once they get it, and once they understand what real love is about and about sharing with each other and carrying each other's burdens and bearing with each other, and once they get that picture, then they're going to feel that kind of love. They're going to want that kind of love. They're not going to want to get out of that kind of love. You know, some people don't know how to give or receive due to various circumstances. But that doesn't mean that they can't learn how to. How are they going to learn how to give and receive and accept true love? You got to show it to them. You got to show it to them. And it can't simply be the words, "I love you." Anybody can say that, right? And I encourage you to tell people that all the time. You ought to be telling your family that, your spouses that, your siblings and all that. We need to hear those words. But guess what, guys? We need to see action behind those words. Amen? We need to see action. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We need to see. Parents, your kids need to see that you love them. Well, my kids know I love them. Okay? How do they know that? Do they see it? Do they see it modeled? Do they see mom and dad in a loving relationship with each other? Do they see you doing things for them that constitutes and translates into love? Or are they simply seeing an emotion being shared from time to time? There is an emotion called love, and there is a deep-rooted sentiment called love. And the two are very different. I want to be sure you understand that. I can show emotional love to anyone, but I can show true love when the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes out of me in what I do for those people. So I want you to be sure you understand that. Love will help make us complete once we know how to give and receive love. You know, you got to understand how to give it and receive it before you're going to be able to make yourself complete, before love will really make you complete. Gosh, it's quiet in here this morning, amen? I mean, everybody's like, I'm just waiting for a mouse or something to run across the floor and some of the women start screaming or something, you know? But anyhow, I'm just glad that people are focused. My usual sleepers are awake right now, amen? That's a good thing. I like that. I'm not going to identify who they are. But hey, everybody's awake right now, amen? That's a good thing. All right, let's look at number 14. Love hurts when others hurt. Now, this is a tough one right here. Love hurts when others hurt. You know, when the people I love are hurting, I'm hurting with them. I hurt with them. Because if you truly love someone, you cannot watch them be hurt and not hurt yourself, can you? You can't separate those two. Love hurts when you hurt. It could be because of a sickness. It could be because of an argument. It could be because of poor choices in life. Whatever the case may be, love hurts when someone else hurts. It can be a painful thing. When a loved one's hurting, you hurt with them. And guys, let me tell you something. When you show compassion and mercy for a loved one, guess what? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. So when someone's hurting, we ought to show compassion to them. We ought to show mercy to them. We ought to let them know, hey, I hurt with you. But guys, let me tell you something. You can't always just forget about what caused the hurt. You see, there's a reason for that hurt that's inside someone. And we can only hope and pray that whatever the hurt is that caused our loved ones or our friends to experience whatever it is they're experiencing, that God will replace that at some point in time. Because until God replaces that in their life and their heart, we're going to continue to hurt with them, right? So we just have to keep praying for one another that God will uplift us and help get rid of that hurt that we experience sometimes. Let me give you a good example of that in the Bible. Remember when Jesus was called to Lazarus? Lazarus was real sick. And Mary and Martha had word sent to Jesus to come and help heal Lazarus. But Jesus said, no, we're going to wait a few more days. And basically Jesus let Lazarus die. But when he got there, the shortest verse in the Bible in the book of John consists of two words. Jesus wept when he saw the hurt and the agony that the people were going through, that Mary and Martha were going through over their brother Lazarus. He was moved to tears because of the hurt they felt. So you see, even Jesus felt the hurt of people. It's not an uncommon thing. We're going to feel hurt when other people are hurting. So I just want to make sure you understand that. Number 15. Love keeps no record of accounts. Now, this is different because we're going to talk about love not keeping a record of wrongs and things, okay, or things of that nature. But let me tell you what I mean by this. Love keeps no record of accounts. True love keeps no record of who did what for whom. In other words, some people will base their love on the little book that they write things down in, saying, well, so-and-so did this for me. I love him this week. He didn't pay me back for what he owes me, so I don't really love him that much this week. You don't keep account for what people owe you or don't owe you that you base your love on. Okay, so love keeps no account of things. All right, if you truly love someone, you're going to love them if they owe you a gazillion dollars. You're going to, you know what the Bible says? When you give someone something, don't expect anything in return. If you want to truly give somebody something with a loving heart, don't put any strings on it. You give it to them, you hand it to them, and you say, God bless you, I hope we can help you out here. Not sitting there going, well, I'm going to wait, I bet you I'll never see that again. Well, you probably, I can tell you this, you won't see any reward in heaven from what you did if that's the attitude you have. Because you see, love does not keep record of accounts. You're not going to have this little ledger that you keep in your house, and every time somebody does something good for you, you write it down, and then you maybe exchange something with them, and then when they don't do something good for you, you write down no love this week. That's not how it goes, guys. Love does not keep record of accounts. You know, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've given to people never expecting to ever get anything in return. I don't tell them that. In fact, I'll tell them up front, I don't expect you to do anything for me. Because sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to be able to help you or whatever. I was like, I didn't ask for any help. I just feel led to help you. And that's the way we got to be, guys. You got to have that desire in your heart to help other people, not expecting anything in return, because we're going to get our return. If not on this side, we're going to see it on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's about. It's not about what can I get here. So many people are so concerned about what they can get here on this earth. Let me tell you what, this earth is a miserable place. Don't worry about what you can get on this earth. Worry about what you're going to get in heaven one day. Amen? Because that's where it counts. That is where everything good that you've done here on this earth, you're going to be able to cash it in as you throw your crowns at the feet of Jesus. And I hope and pray that everybody's crown is loaded with jewels when you get up there. Because then you know you've done what God wanted you to do here on this earth. Then you know you've reached out and helped people here on this earth. That's what it's about, guys. How many of you like helping people? How many of you expect anything in return? Oh, I caught some hands up. I'm just kidding. You just couldn't get it down quick enough. All right. Guys, let me tell you something. I'd rather you not give or help anyone if you expect something in return. Just don't do it to start with. Because at least then we just think you truly are a stingy person and don't want to help anybody. But if you do it and expect something in return, then that's a whole different ball game, right? So if you can't just give and help someone just because you want to show the love of Jesus, don't do it to start with. That would be the best suggestion. Now, number 16, love can be painful. Now, I'm not talking about love hurts when other people hurts. I'm saying sometimes love can be painful. And let me tell you why that is. Because sometimes you show love to someone who does not give it back to you. They're people who have done the wrong thing. And the story that comes to mind with me when I think about this is the story of the prodigal son. Where the prodigal son said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I'm a grown man now. I'm an adult. I want to go out. I want to be on my own. So the father gave him of his inheritance, and he went off and he squandered it on foolish living, prostitutes and lasciviousness and all kind of terrible things. He just threw it all away. And then one day he came to the realization. All the while now, keep in mind, this dad over here, of course, this is a parable that was being told, but this dad over here hurting inside, feeling pain inside. You know why? Because his son walked off and left. And he knew he was making a mistake, but he couldn't stop it. So you see, we're going to feel pain a lot of times. Love's going to be painful sometimes because of the people that we love doing things or going off to different places, and we know that maybe they're not doing the right thing. Maybe they're not doing things that are healthy for them. But we still love them, and sometimes it's painful. But guess what? We're commanded to forgive. And that's exactly what the story of the prodigal son is about. That father, when he saw that son coming back down the road in the right frame of mind, finally, He rushes out to him. He didn't have any stipulations for him. He showed him unconditional love. Yeah, did he hurt and was it painful all that time? Yes. But as soon as he saw him coming back, he ran out, hugged him, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and had a big festive party for him. Love is painful sometimes. It's very painful when we know that people are making a mistake and we can't stop it. But guess what? You don't stop loving them. You fight through the pain that you experience and you continue to love them and you continue to forgive them. Well, you know what I've heard people say before? I'll never forgive them for that. Well, you're not a Christian. Let me just tell you that. If you can honestly tell somebody you can never forgive them for something they did to you, then you don't really have the love of Christ in your heart. Because Jesus forgave us as that final spear was thrust in His side. And if we can't do the same thing, then we don't know what the love of Christ is really about. So guys, don't ever make it a habit of telling someone, well, I'll never forgive you for that. What if you get up to heaven one day and Jesus tells you that? And then He finishes it with the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Think about that. Think about how we act here on this earth. Because you know what? The Bible also says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you treasure loving people? Or do you treasure trying to keep a record of everything that goes on in your life to determine whether or not you're going to love people? Let's look at number 17. Love requires nothing in return. Nothing. If you truly love somebody, you don't expect anything in return. Now, it'd be nice if they reciprocate your love and give it back. But if you really love them, you don't expect anything in return. You love them. Why? Because Jesus loved us. Jesus didn't ask for anything in return. What did Jesus do? He gave. He gave us love. He didn't ask for it. And guess what? So many people did not love Jesus. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that sad? Jesus gave all this love to us, and so many people did not love Him back. I think that's just a terrible tragedy. But that was all part of God's plan. So love requires nothing in return. There's no conditions. There's no strings attached. Guys, let me tell you something. If you expect something in return for your love to someone else, then you've got the whole picture wrong. There should be no ifs, ands, and buts attached to your love. Well, if you'll do so-and-so now, No, you can't say that. If you're a true born-again believer in Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus is in your heart, you're going to love people regardless. Now, I didn't say you were going to get along with everybody. And I want you to understand this too, because I think some people confuse this. Jesus never commanded us to hang around everyone. Jesus never said, well, you ought to be buddies with everybody. No, Jesus said, love everyone. With my love. He didn't say you had to go out and live like the rest of the world. In fact, He says just the opposite. But He did command us to love. I can love plenty of people and not accept what they do and not want to be around them and still love them with the love of Jesus. Do you understand that? Does everybody, if you understand that, say amen. Amen. Okay, because I can still love someone with the love of Jesus and not accept what they're doing and not want to hang around with them. I can still love them. Okay? So I want you to understand that. All right. Number 18. Love is patient. Now we talked about something last week. We talked about a word called lust. Lust is always about self. Lust wants self-gratification immediately. But love is patient. Love will wait for the right opportunity to come, and then when it's there, boom, here it is. You know why it's so great when you're patient? Because that's the way God wanted it to be. God doesn't want you to go running off into a relationship. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Let me tell you something. Until you can be patient and wait on God to bring about love as far as a relationship goes in your life, you're never going to be happy. If you go out and try to do it yourself, you're never going to be happy. But when God orchestrates it, there's no greater love than you'll experience. No greater love. If you don't believe that, then ask everybody in here that's been married for many, many years. And they'll tell you. Hey, I didn't find my true love by me just running around on every corner looking for love in all the wrong places. No, I found it when God orchestrated it and brought it together in my life.
Amen.
And that's what it's about, guys. That's what it's about. Love is always waiting for the proper time. This is very different from lust. Lust wants self-gratification and it wants it immediately. It's always about self. It's always about materialistic things. So true love is always going to be patient. Guys, if you're giving somebody stipulations, it's not true love. It is not true love. Number 19, Christ's death on the cross. Christ's death on the cross is the perfect example of love. You will not find any better example of love than Jesus dying on that cross for you and I. Amen? You will not find a better example than that. You can't find one better than that. Can anyone even remotely, closely give me an example that surpasses that? I don't think so. That is the ultimate showing of love in what Jesus did for us. And guess what? Let me tell you something that'll blow your mind. He would have done it if you were the only person on this earth. He would have done it if you were the only person. If you were the only person. If you were the, if y'all were the only persons, 1, 2, 3 of y'all on the earth, he would have done it anyway.
Amen.
Amen? He didn't need a million people to die for. He would have died for just one. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. And that's the kind of love he wants us to have for each other. You know what the Bible says? No greater love hath man than to lay down his life for a friend. You know what that's saying? That's saying, man, if you really love the way Jesus loved, you'd be willing to lay your life down for somebody. Now that's hard for some people to wrap around their mind because they're like, man, I ain't getting killed over nobody. No, we're not asking you to go out and look to get killed over somebody, but we're asking you to, hey, have that kind of love like Jesus had. He was willing to die for us, right? That's the kind of love we're talking about. And last but not least, love is its own reward. Think about that for a minute. Love is its own reward. Man, I get rewarded when I love people and I see them getting things and understanding things and knowing that somebody cares about them. That's reward enough for me. I don't need anything in return except when I see that, hey, the bulb is going off. They're getting it. They're happy. They're joyful. Love is its own reward. Knowing that we are loved by God and being able to love Him in return is an amazing blessing, isn't it? Jesus loves us. There's nothing you can do to change that. You can be the worst, most despicable person in the world. You can turn your back on God and walk away from Him as far as you want to walk. And guess what? He's still going to love you. Will your family always do that? Probably not. But I can tell you one thing. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never. That's a promise. That's a promise God's given us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Friends will come. Friends will go. Relationships will come and go. But the love of Jesus will stay forever.
Amen.
It's always going to be there. You'll never get rid of it. So you might as well just be accustomed to the thought that God is going to love you the rest of your life. Now, He wants everyone to get saved so that we can all rejoice together in heaven one day. But even if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior and unfortunately get separated eternally from God, He's still going to love you till the last breath you take. I hope and pray we all feel that way toward one another. You know, love sustains us when we feel forsaken and unloved by others, doesn't it? If you know that Jesus loves you, no matter if your family turns their back on you, your friends turn their back on you, you don't feel loved by them, Jesus is still going to love you and pick you up. And help you get through your life until something comes along that will spark that in you. If a loved one dies or loved ones leave us, we have a friend who will never desert us. That friend is Jesus. You know the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus?
Amen.
That's exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, you can't ask for a better friend. Because friends will come and go, won't they? I mean, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to close by reemphasizing this, and then we'll be done. Guys, if you have two or three friends that you can really consider to be close friends of yours, that you can trust and confide in your life, you have been blessed.
Amen.
Don't worry about, oh, I need 300 friends for me to feel like I'm a friendly person. No. You know what the Bible says? If you're going to be friends with the world, you're going to be my enemy. That's what Jesus said. If you're going to be friends with the world, you're going to be enemies of God. So don't worry about all these friends you think you need to have. You only need to have one person in your life really and truly, and that's Jesus. Amen. Then you find a circle of godly friends and you stay with them. Don't let the evil of this world close in on you and separate you from the love of Jesus. Guys, true love never fails, does it? It's going to always be there. And I hope and pray over the last couple of weeks we've shed some light on love and some characteristics of love, some things that love is and that love isn't. But I want to end today by reading you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, flip over there with me real quick, and this is going to close us out today. This is the love chapter of the Bible here. I want to read it for you, and I want you to listen to what love is, okay? And while I'm reading these things, I want you to think about in your mind, do I have that kind of love? Am I that way? Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 4. Now, my Bible uses the word charity. I want you to translate that to love. Your Bible may already have love in it. But whenever you hear me say charity, I'm talking about love, okay? Beginning with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is this next one, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And then the final verse here, listen carefully to what this says. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, which means love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest. God just gave us all this list of the characteristics of love, and then he talked about things, but he emphasized in the end, the greatest thing you can have is love.
Amen.
The greatest thing you can give to someone is love.
Amen.
It's a free gift. And guess what? We ought to be giving more of it, right? Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for each and every person here today. Lord, I just pray you've challenged our hearts and minds on the topic of love, what love is, what love is not. And I just pray, God, there are people that are pouring into our lives, Lord, and letting us see these things that love is. And I pray, God, if we're doing things that love is not, I pray we'll turn from those. And Lord, get back in a right relationship with you. And Father, I just, like I said, Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for all the great things we've already experienced here in your house and that we'll continue to experience throughout the day. And Lord, we're just going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
206.
Let's stand and sing. As always, the altars are open. If you need to come and pray, if not for yourself, maybe for somebody else. Won't you come today? Hymn 206.